Escaladores combines two words when translating from Spanish to English: climbers and scalers. Climbers, because they climb mountains of difficulties and prejudices and mountain ranges of impossibilities. And scalers, because they manage to scale their initial idea.
La empresa que acaba de reemplazar a Yahoo en el Nasdaq 100
also
vale más que la mayor. Se llama Mercado Libre.
MercadoLibre.com, un sitio de internet.
An idea is always important, but much more important is to put it into practice and make it grow, even in contexts that seem adverse.
Mercado Libre, a giant.
Climbers and Scalers is the story of people who think they can. Reaching the summit is not only touching the top, but also enjoying competing in the most challenging league with the best in the world. This is the story of Mercado Libre, told in first person by its protagonists. This is Climbers and Scalers, narrated by their own professional AI cloned voices, with full authorizations.
La facturación de Mercado Libre en Argentina equivale a la de los 10 principales centros comerciales del país.
Mercado Libre, congratulations.
How far can Mercado Libre go? How much faster can it go? Robotic warehouses, own airplanes. The scale seems endless. Who's to say how far to go? At the end of the day, the guiding idea is simple. Obey the wishes of one person. And no, it's not Marcos Galperín. It's someone much more important.
When you think about it, in the end, the motive ends up being the same that we talked about justifying the first warehouse, which is to impact the user's life. We need to get there faster because we know that's what the consumer is going to want or wants. If we have products stored in Sao Paulo and we need to get to Brasilia or we need to get to the south of Brazil, we need them to travel fast. We can't afford to take 3 days by truck overland. Similar to what happened with the carriers we talked about before, airlines design their flight network and capacity according to their customer portfolio. And we, because of the size we have, we cannot afford to depend on the design and topology of someone else or on the predictability or the impossibility to foresee schedules, compliance, availability that those airlines have. So in a way, we are forced to build our own capacity to meet our needs. We do not need the package when you fly to Brazil, for example, or to the United States. You like to leave at 8 o'clock at night to land at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we do not need the package to leave at 8 o'clock at night. We need the package to leave at 4 a.m. to arrive at 5:30 a.m. in Sao Paulo, to be at 6:30 a.m. at the last mile station. And from there, it goes to the customer's house to be delivered to the customer that day. And it's not that the planes are waiting for us to deliver that, and that's why we have to design it. Having said that, it doesn't mean that we have to buy or fly airplanes. I can't imagine having pilots employed by Mercado Libre, to give an example. Our role is to assemble the technology, design the network, and make partnerships with players that can complement us to give us the capabilities we don't have. Clearly, an airline can be a Mercado Libre partner. Mili's airplanes today are not Mercado Libre's planes, but they are planes that work for Mercado Libre, which are operated by a cargo airline in each country, one in Brazil and one in Mexico. But they are operated for the purposes and needs of our users and not for others.
The planes and pilots work for Mercado Libre, but they are not from Mercado Libre. The method is simple. When someone does it better than you, nothing better than hiring them. But what happens when no one can do it the way we want?
Marcos, I don't know how many years ago, he must have said that we were not going to do logistics either, and we are doing it. So there is nothing written in stone in our history. I think the way we conceptualize it is that we take roles in the value chain where we feel that we can't find partners or third parties that can supply that need with the standards that we have. Because our standard is that if we tell you that your package arrives tomorrow, it has to arrive tomorrow, it can't arrive the day after. And no, not necessarily. In each link, we find the partner that can operate with that level of compliance and that mindset. What happens to us is that we have more projects than resources available to execute them. So one of the most difficult processes we live through is having to choose what not to do. Maybe it is obvious, but for us, it is very difficult because we want to do everything. That is to say, as a company, we are constantly coming up with new ideas and the desire to tackle robotics, last mile drones or lockers. And our scarcest resource at the end of the day is developers. It is the ability to generate the technology so that all this can be embedded in our business, in our logistics network, in the case of shipments. And that is one of the most complex processes that we have to execute on a recurring basis. So you ask me, would you have liked it or would you like it? And I love it. I think they're doing a good job. I think it's at least an interesting business and so on. Now, that versus building all the flexibility that we were talking about before and the ability to live a 2020 like the one we lived through 1,000 times, I go back to choosing the same thing that we chose so far. So I think it comes from there, not because we didn't see it or not because we didn't feel like it, but because we chose our battle. Because in the end, my responsibility in my chair is together with the team to make sure that I prioritize those things that are most critical for the life of Mercado Libre, everything that we as a company propose to do.
The world is unpredictable. A couple of years ago, no one would have predicted that online shopping would multiply exponentially due to a pandemic. And yet Mercado Libre managed to meet that demand. There is a method to such responsiveness. Ask yourself all the questions beforehand. Think about the future, because that future is much closer than it seems. And yes, the robots are there.
The robotic solution that is more accepted in the world of e-commerce warehouses basically are shelves that move themselves towards people. So how does a Mercado Libre warehouse work? Yeah, we receive products every day, products in bulk, that is a pallet of pen drives to say something. All those pen drives are stored on shelves in the warehouse. And when John clicks on the buy button in Mercado Libre, there is a person who walks to the shelf, grabs the pen drive, takes the pen drive to another place in the warehouse where we put the pen drive in a box, print a label on it, and ship it. Robotics, what it does in the warehouses where it is implemented, is that instead of that person having to walk to get John's pen drive, your mouse, my keyboard, or whatever it was that the group of sellers bought at that moment, that person is sitting at a workstation and the shelves that have the products move by themselves and reach him where he is sitting. Then that person just has to stretch out his arm, grab the pen drive, wait 5 seconds later, another shelf with the keyboard arrives. He grabs the keyboard and puts it on his workstation. And 5 seconds later, another shelf with the mouse arrives. He puts it on his workstation. Then with that, with the three things on top of his workstation, he puts the box together and sends it to distribution. How does that work in practical terms? They are like, let's call it smaller mouse tables which have a shelf on top, a shelf mounted on top, and the mouse tables already move by themselves. Then you have a system that, based on artificial intelligence, knows exactly where to put or how to organize all those mouse tables with shelves in a given geographical space so that every time an order comes in, the mouse table in question can reach the operator sitting at his workstation as quickly as possible. Typically, what we do is at the end of the year, we put together an annual plan where we try to define what our priorities are for the next year. And then on a quarterly basis, we calibrate or refine exactly what we're going to be doing each quarter of the year. And then that's a living list that all the time mutates and adjusts, but we're reprioritizing all the time. But we formally have those instances where once every quarter, we define what we are going to put resources or hours to dedicate on those priorities we saw at the beginning of the year, or more or less define the guidelines we defined at the beginning of the year. Sometimes there are projects like this robotics project that still do not require the hours of an engineer. What they do require is the head of someone who understands the problem so that we can begin to evaluate what it would be like to put engineering hours into getting a robot into our warehouses. For example, the warehouse floor has to be a special floor with a specific degree of leveling, so you can't just do it in any warehouse. Maybe you have to build a warehouse that can tolerate those robots. And that is a project that has already taken a long time, a minimum of time, until you build a warehouse that can support the robots. Then once you have that, you have to see whose robots are going to be there, how those robots are integrated to the WMS system that we were talking about before, to the software that manages the operation, and so on. But I think that the robots are an example, but there are infinite.
Mercado Libre is a leader in every Latin American country where it operates. It is synonymous with service and reliability throughout the continent. And it's one of the 100 most valuable brands in the world. What motivates them? Wanting to be the best at what they do. But is what they've achieved enough? No need to be a spoiler for the answer.
I admire a lot about Mercado Libre, what you recognize. I was telling Pedro in those 5 or 10 coffees I had with him. It is impressive that all of them keep getting up in the morning with the desire to continue having an impact, generating, putting hours, energy, and stress into their daily work. Because each one fulfills his role with an impressive degree of responsibility, dedication, and ambition. And I think that is spectacular. And I feel obviously honored to have the possibility of being where I am and to have the responsibility that I have to be part of this team and to be listened to and to be able to participate and to be able to contribute my grain of sand to this giant castle that they built. Because in the end, that is my most genuine feeling, that my contribution was a grain of sand to something huge. And I feel total admiration for that whole group. I think it's that sense of purpose, that very present characteristic that we have in Meli, of looking forward and seeing all that is to be done, all the impact that we can continue to generate. So what they have achieved is enormous, but it seems to me that they all look forward and see everything that can be done, and it makes you want to continue. And they all have that very internal notion or that very internal desire to continue having an impact on people's lives, to continue transforming the reality of the countries where we operate. And I think it comes from there, because clearly, on the other hand, it does not. I think that competition is definitely part of the inner fire that we have in Meli. I mean, we like to compete, we have that competitive soul, and seeing an Amazon present in Latin America, far from intimidating us, makes us want to do things faster. They are tremendous, but they are tremendous in a good way, and they are the best, they do spectacular things. What they are doing in the United States or Europe is impressive, and that feeds us to want to continue, to want to make an impact. I think our ambition is still very focused on transforming Latin America, not beyond that. But in Latin America, we are so small and we have so much to do. Why can't we do 4x or 5x bigger than we are today? Mercado Libre is consistently the largest in all countries, and I think we are sustaining or increasing that position in all markets. And that is part of what also gives us or confirms to us that the path we are on is the right one. Now, we are a long way from believing that we won the game, and that is part of the inner fire or hunger that we continue to feel.
You have in front of you nothing less than a giant, the number one service company in the world. This is something that would intimidate anyone. But we have already discovered that Mercado Libre is not like anybody else. Quite the opposite. And far from intimidating them, the presence of the giant is a motivation.
We compete with Amazon in Brazil and in Mexico. We compete against other major players in Brazil who are also local players. The fact that Amazon Brazil, for Amazon, as big as Brazil is a small country, is irrelevant. So when you compete against a local player that has 100% of its resources dedicated to Brazil and that has been doing business in Brazil for many years and knows the dynamics and the tax and customs matrices, which are very complicated, it is difficult. I think that is why it was so hard for Amazon to set up and be successful in Brazil. I think it was a little easier in Mexico because of the proximity to the United States. And because at the end of the day, Mexico allows U.S. products to enter without tariffs. And in a way, what it is doing, I think, is making life easier for Amazon and more complicated for local merchants. But all this proximity allows Amazon to ship many of the sales that it makes today in Mexico from the United States, and with very reasonable times because it has warehouses on the border. But yes, doing business in these countries is difficult. Even for us, it has been difficult. Many of the new services we have launched, especially fulfillment in Brazil, required new regulations for the industry that did not exist, which were very complex to obtain and so on. And then for a company like Amazon, which is generally used to having a playbook and replicating it as they do in the United States or maybe in Germany or Australia, it is different to do it in Brazil, not to mention Argentina. It is much more complicated. You arrive in a country like Brazil and you don't have companies capable of distributing packages as you have in the United States, which is what they are used to, and you must look for alternatives. And then you have to start thinking about country-specific solutions. And for a company as big as Amazon, perhaps they are not so used to invest time in development for a country that represents so little for them. But they are complicated countries, especially logistically speaking. That's why I say we were forced to lower the dependence we had on all the traditional logistics companies and think about services that allow us to reach buyers cheaper and faster, and luckily, we did it. Because if we had not done it, we would not have been able to distribute all the products that were sold after the pandemic, and that, by the way, were growing week by week 30%, 40%. Logistics is an industry with very, very small margins, where they work with a very marginal idle capacity. So a growth from one week to the next basically told you I cannot distribute it. And the investment plans to increase that distribution capacity are very big, very ambitious, and very long-term plans. So in a way, we started to think about solutions for ourselves and not so much depending on third parties. So we developed our own technology, we developed local suppliers, we developed motorcycle deliveries, we developed airplane deliveries, everything I mentioned before. If you go and ask Marcos what was, I think, the best thing we did in the last few years, it was the development of everything that has to do with the logistics matrix and our capacity to distribute packages. And sometimes we don't realize it, but it contributed so much to the experience of buying and selling in Mercado Libre that it seems like it had always been there. But it wasn't in the past, and that changed forever and completely.
The consumer changes, your competitor changes, the world changes. To stay competitive, change is an indispensable part. It's like any sport. If we want to stay in shape, we can't stand still.
I think we have an extremely competitive DNA, healthy, because we compete inside and outside. We are a team and everything. And that mobilizes us and forces us to be better every day. And we know, as we were saying before, that they are the best in the world because it is indisputable and we cannot stop. And that forces us to be better. And we compete with Amazon, with a version of Amazon completely whole in Mexico. Amazon in Brazil is even smaller and they are still developing. In Mexico, they are Amazon United States because they have everything, because they sell inventory from their US sellers, because they have their logistics network, because they have their platform. They have everything. And clearly, seeing the results of our business in Mexico is encouraging. Now, it is far from reassuring. We have to keep on doing it. Every year since I have my role, I reorg my team. That is, every year I redesign the organization chart and how we are organized and who has what, who is responsible for what, because I really believe that the context changes a lot. I spend a lot of time interviewing people, meeting people. I invest a lot in trying to get the right person. I mean, one of my thoughts there is that the worst thing I can do is lower the bar. So I'd rather not hire the person than lower the bar. The vice president of transportation, I think I spent a year to convince him. And that year there was nobody because he didn't have one. And I was fulfilling his chair and looking for the right person. But I think that's one example. But in general, it's finding the right people. And the right people are not just the people with the specific knowledge. It is the people with the fit with our culture, because not everybody, especially in the logistics industry, can adapt to the tech world, to this culture of taking risks, of entrepreneurship, of being in continuous beta that we have, of executing with excellence. And at the same time, besides the culture and the expertise, it is the potential, it is the head in the ability to learn, because we know that the context changes. Today, Mercado Envios has nothing to do with Mercado Envios a year ago and nothing to do with Mercado Envios 2 years ago. And the same thing will happen next year. So we need people who can adapt, not to the challenge we are facing today, but to the challenge that is coming.
For a company like Mercado Libre, which is always looking ahead, it is logical that more than a resume showing a person's past, they look at the future resume. What matters most is the potential, what each person is capable of doing. And one of the things you have to do is to get into each other's work and bother. Because you can be a team, but you never have to be completely comfortable.
100%, that is one of the characteristics of Mercado Libre in the sense, and I think it is rich there. And I tie it with what Pedro told me at the beginning when he said to me, hey, here your position, your title does not matter. Here what matters are your ideas, and that is intimately linked to that. Here we all discuss everything, and we all feel free to give our opinion on anything. Because in the richness of diverse ideas, I believe that there are ideas that can be improved, and it is part of the unspoken rules of the game that we live as a team. In the sense that there is no territoriality, there is no... You are technology, so you give your opinion, you code the projects, and I decide how we operate. Here, we sit side by side, and Soledad gives me a hard time when she thinks that I am making a mistake in the design of an operation, and I give her a hard time when I think that a product is not up to what we need. But this is very present in the organization in general, and it does not only happen within Mercado Envios. But as you were saying, we had to discuss the loyalty program, and not only Sean's loyalty team was there, but we were there and FinTech was there, and we were arguing, disagreeing, giving our opinion, building. But I believe that It is in that interaction where those ideas come out that suddenly make everything magical, that you find the right point or the overcoming idea that takes you to the next level. Going back to that Saturday morning meeting where we somehow agreed on the logistical network we had, it is not that the logistics team and Marcos were there. In that meeting was the technology team, the logistics team, Ossie, who was leading FinTech, and the marketplace team. We were all there. And I, at that time, was part of the strategy team. So it is part of our culture of generating these interdisciplinary tables or cells that collaborate with different ideas to generate things that have an impact.
Competitiveness, teamwork, constant technological innovation, vision of the future, all of that for sure. But Mercado Libre's DNA has a much simpler and more concrete fundamental base. And yes, it has to do again with the most important person in the company.
If I had to summarize or tell you how I see Mercado Libre's DNA, I would say a brutal user orientation with a strong desire to impact people's lives. So that's the basis on which we have built everything we have built. That real vocation and desire to change the lives of the millions of Latin Americans who are there and change their lives in their purchases with our platform, but also in their finances, with the way they handle cash, virtual wallets, credits to people who are outside the banking system, and so on. But that is combined with this ambition to continue to be disruptive in the way, with a very technology-based approach, with a desire to rethink the status quo, that there is no conformism, it is continuous beta, and always questioning the established to find better solutions and a brutal execution orientation. Because if there is something that Mercado Libre has, it is that although we think in the long term and we only build solutions that are scalable, we are very oriented to execute with excellence, that things happen fast. And if we have to make mistakes, we celebrate the mistakes to the extent that we learn from them and we can do something better and something even greater.
In this journey inside one of the most important companies in the world, I am discovering why Meli succeeds, what makes them great, and what we can learn, replicate, and adapt from their experiences to be able to scale in each of our organizations. It is always inspiring to find people who believe in the attitude of constant self-improving. Ari and Juan Martin show us that dreams can shape the world, and that it is possible to climb any summit. They bet on the long term, invest in the necessary capabilities to surprise consumers, and never stop learning in order to know how to correct, and always try to be the best. I am Federico Eisner. This is Climbers and Scalers.